The first reading is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 11, reading from verses 19 to 30. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed travelled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, as each one was able, decided to provide help for the brothers and sisters living in Judea. This they did, sending their gifts to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. This is the word of the Lord.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to John, the gospel is taken from the book of John, chapter 15, verses 12 on to 17. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Father God, I pray that the words that I speak will be from you, and that you will open our hearts, minds, and ears to hear what you want to say to us. Amen. Good morning. So today we're going to be thinking about Barnabas. He was mentioned in our reading that we had from Acts just now, and the passage described him as a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. I'd like us to take a closer look at this lesser-known character from the New Testament. He's not so well known, but actually he was mentioned 33 times in the New Testament. So although not so well known, he's certainly significant. So who was Barnabas? We've started with a trick question, because Barnabas was actually named Joseph. However, he came known by the apostles as Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. And that's a clue to his character. But what it made me wonder was, If Barnabas was named by his friends as son of encouragement because it reflected his character, what would my friends name me? And then I was thinking, maybe it'd be happy, maybe it'd be joyful. But then I thought, that makes me sound like one of the seven dwarves. So I thought, I stopped thinking about it, to be honest. But actually, it might be something for you to think about later in the week. What would your friends call you if they were calling you by a part of your character? So anyway, I'd like to think about Barnabas, what he was like, what gifts he had, and how he used them. Well, think about his goodness. He was described as a good man. What does that mean to be a good man or good woman? And how did his goodness impact the early church? The word good these days is used all over the place. Have you noticed how good is often used incorrectly, in a very half-hearted manner? How are you doing? Yeah, good. I get that at home. How was your day? Yeah, it was good. How are you? Good. No, you're not good. You're well. Maybe you're fine. But it's really overused. And also, I mean, the whole language is back to front. Apparently bad now means good. Sick now means good. It's a complete mystery to me. But when Barnabas was described as good, I believe he was being described as a man who is kind, who is virtuous, generous, humble. It doesn't just describe how he's feeling. It says something about what kind of person he is. It's deeper than just his mood. It's about him as a person. Goodness is something that requires intention, an intention to be a better person. Barnabas was described as good because he maintained a foundation of Christ-likeness. He was a disciple of Jesus, and he was full of the Holy Spirit, and that was evident in his gentle manner and in his humility. In Genesis, God created the earth and everything that was in it. In verse 31, we read, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. Good is describing all of creation, including mankind. Good is how God created us to be. Good is what he wants us to be. Barnabas was described as a good man. Not perfect, but good. He was flawed, as are we all. And we read in Acts 15 that he had a dispute with Paul. They had a falling out. And they went their separate ways. There are a few details about what it was all about. And I should imagine there was fault on both sides, as there usually is. But it is evidence of Barnabas not being perfect, despite being good. He was a person like we are. Goodness is something that we can all strive to achieve. We can't achieve it in our own strength, but with the help of the Holy Spirit, we, like Barnabas, could be described as good, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. So how did Barnabas's goodness help the early church? There are at least three ways that are evident to me. Firstly, by his generosity. We first meet Barnabas in Acts 4. Following the arrival of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, all the believers joined together, devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship with each other. In chapter 2, we read, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And that's when we first meet Barnabas, when he sells a field he owns and puts the money at the feet of the apostles. What a wonderful time it must have been. I often think about what it must have been like. And sometimes I feel like I get glimpses of what it must have felt like. Like when we have the bring and share lunches and everyone brings something and there's always enough. Like when we worship and pray together. Prayer and praise. I always imagine that there's a feeling of what it must have been like in the early church. Going away together. Worshipping around the campfire together when we're camping and when we go to their farm. Fellowship at the end of the services. That real sense of being part of God's family. I imagine that's what it felt like. Because, and we could do that, because they could do that, because people like Barnabas were so generous. We read in chapter 2 that 3,000 people were baptized and added to the Christian family. They needed people like Barnabas to share their resources, to allow the fellowship to grow. The bigger the community, the higher the cost. Imagine us baptizing that many people today, 3,000 people. Poor Lara would have to refill the baptistry hundreds of times. We'd have to buy Costco out of cakes and Eden out of Bibles. What a wonderful thought. Interestingly, none of the other people who contributed their resources were named. But that suggests that Barnabas was really well thought of and well known for his contributions through his finances and his gifts. Barnabas gave what he could to establish this community of ever-growing Christians. Now, I can't imagine there are any of us here who are in the position to be able to sell a field and donate money to the church, but the principle of giving is the same. We give financially, if we are able, to help establish and grow the church. Here at BPC, our needs are different to the early church in practical ways, but the goal is the same. We want to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. We want to worship God, we want to make friends, and we want to change the world. They may have worded it differently back then, but I think their mission statement would have been very similar. We pool our resources to further the kingdom, be that resources of our money, of our time, or of our gifts, perhaps a combination of the three. But we give of ourselves because we are family. We are the family of God. I loved how after the baptisms last week, I could say to some of the guys afterwards, "You are my brother. We're from a different culture. We're from different countries. But we're children of the same Heavenly Father. We are family." We can look to Barnabas as an example of how our individual generosity can help to establish our Christian community and grow the kingdom of God and share the good news. Secondly, Barnabas helped the early church by being courageous. In Acts 9, after Saul had had his dramatic conversion on the road to Damascus, he fled the Jews who were trying to kill him and he went to Jerusalem. He tried to join the disciples there, but they were afraid of him and wouldn't let him join them because they didn't believe he was one of them. I mean, it was understandable, really, because shortly before he'd been persecuting them. But it was Barnabas who stood for him. Barnabas who took him to the disciples, saying, "I'll vouch for him. He's okay. He's with me. He really is one of us." Now that took courage. And who knows what would have happened if Barnabas hadn't stood up for Saul and he hadn't been accepted by the disciples. Because as we know, Saul became Paul and he went on to be a great evangelist and wrote much of the New Testament. Barnabas facilitated that by speaking up for him, by vouching for him. Barnabas travelled with Paul and they spoke to many people sharing the gospel and often getting into some very tricky situations. We hear much more of Paul than we do of Barnabas. When they have their dispute in Acts 15, it's Paul's mission we continue to follow. We're only told of Barnabas that he sailed to Cyprus. It's likely that he continued his ministry in Cyprus and was martyred there for his faith. He is actually the patron saint of Cyprus. So his courageousness and faithfulness in sharing the gospel continued even after we stopped reading about him in Acts. What strikes me about the courage of Barnabas is that it stemmed from his faith in Jesus. He worked alongside Paul, who was obviously a man with a great gift of preaching and teaching, a charismatic man, a successful man, a leader. But Barnabas's faith was firmly rooted in Jesus. Sometimes we see this in the world today, sometimes in the church today. Great leaders, charismatic personalities, and large church communities can carry the risk of becoming the object of worship themselves, rather than pointing to Christ. But Barnabas wasn't reliant on Paul for his faith. His faith and passion for sharing it came from his faith in Jesus. However, separating from Paul, a strong leader, a strong personality, and continuing in his mission without him, even to the point of losing his life, took great courage. We likely won't have to put our lives at risk or have our faith tested like Barnabas did, but others do every day. Thinking about the courage of Barnabas can perhaps help us to make sure our focus of worship and our faith is firmly rooted in Jesus. And the third way that Barnabas helped the early church was by using his gift of encouragement. In our reading today, we heard that the good news was received by Greeks in Antioch, and a good many of them believed. Barnabas was sent there by the church in Jerusalem. And what's interesting is that he stayed a while, but then he went to fetch Paul, who was in Tarsus. And that speaks to me of two things. Firstly, when he recognized what God was doing amongst the people of Antioch, he was glad and he encouraged them. So he encouraged them to remain true to the Lord, and he encouraged them to wait while he returned with Saul. He was like, wait there, don't go anywhere, you're doing brilliantly, God is with you. I'm coming back with a guy who's going to teach you and inspire you. He encouraged them to stay true to their faith in that period of waiting. And secondly, his humility. Because he went to get Paul, he could have stayed there on his own. But he knew that Paul was the man for the job. He knew that Paul was perhaps more gifted in what they needed. So he encouraged the new believers. He went to fetch Paul, and he was happy to play a supporting role, to be the good man beside Paul. He was also a great friend and encouragement to John Mark, who was taken along with them and Saul in their mission journey. John Mark was a young man and a relative of Barnabas. For reasons we don't know, he returned to Jerusalem during the mission, and Paul found it difficult to forgive him. So when they went on a second mission trip, Barnabas wanted to give John Mark another chance, but Paul refused. Barnabas stood by John Mark and split company with Paul over this. 20 years later, Paul speaks of John Mark in his letter to the Colossians. So at this point, he's reconciled with him. And Paul sent an instructions for John Mark to be welcomed. John Mark was obviously reconciled with Paul eventually, and no doubt, thanks to his cousin Barnabas' encouragement, it would have been easy for Barnabas just to let John Mark go and continue with Paul. But he didn't. He stood by him and he kept encouraging him. Sometimes we all need to have someone like Barnabas alongside us. Perhaps when we've made a mistake and are feeling wretched about it, or something in our lives is proving difficult, or perhaps we are, for no particular reason, just feeling down. We all need someone to come alongside us and encourage us, often just to keep going. We need to feel someone's on our side, and often that's all it is, just knowing that we have support. George Burns, the actor and comedian, said, Behind every successful person, there is a clapper. There are times when we all just need somebody to cheer us on. I remember many years ago, during my police training, we're talking about 30 years ago now, we were told that we were going to have to go on a 5-mile run. I hate running. I'm terrible at running. I've never been any good at it, and I get anxious. And the PTI could obviously sense my anxiety. And do you know what? During the whole time, he never left my side. I'll never forget it. He was a little Welsh guy, and he just kept encouraging me. And I was so slow. It must have been so boring for him, but he just kept encouraging me. And all of my colleagues, they were running past because they were so much faster than me. And they'd run past, run round, come back, and keep lapping me to shout encouragement to me. And then when it got to the end, they were all stood there waiting for me, cheering for me. And do you know what? Even though it was all that time ago, I've never forgotten that. And I can still remember how that encouragement made me feel and how it helped me get through that run. And I did it. What I like about Barnabas is that we can all be like him. We should all be like him. Everyone should feel that there's somebody cheering them on. Every one of us needs encouragement in our daily life. Some need it just to get out the house. Some need it in their relationships, their work, or their ministry area. Sometimes we just need someone to say, "You're doing great. It's good to see you." We all need a Barnabas, and we all should be a Barnabas. So, be a Barnabas by seeking to be good, to be Christ-like, to be grounded in the Word of God and guided by the Holy Spirit. Be a Barnabas in the way you give. Be generous if you are able. You don't have to sell a field, but if you can contribute to the community of the church in any way, then do. Let's all give what we're able, be it time, gifts, or money. Be a Barnabas by being courageous in your faith. Share the gospel. It doesn't have to be preaching on a street corner or a theological essay. Just make it evident that the change that Christ has made in your life. Stand up for others. Seek justice. Serve in the community. Opportunities will come along where we can share our faith. Offer to pray for someone who's suffering. God will give you the words when we step out in faith. Finally, be a Barnabas by encouraging others. Encouraging each other in our faith journey is so important. How are you doing? How can I be praying for you? Read the Bible with someone. Or if you're reading the Bible and a verse strikes you as being relevant to a particular person, don't just think about it. Tell them. If you're thinking of somebody and praying for them, tell them. It's so encouraging to hear that you're in somebody's thoughts and prayers. Sometimes I'll get a message or an email from someone saying, "Thinking of you, praying for you, lovely to see you today." It makes such a difference to me, and it often will come at the time that I just need to hear it. Connect groups are a great way of creating support and networking and being part of a group that encourages each other. So let's try and think of encouraging things to say to each other, even and especially on the days when we don't feel like it. I like the quote by an unknown author, "Be an encourager. The world has enough critics already." We can all make a huge difference to somebody's day or even their life by offering even the smallest encouragement. An African proverb says, "If you think you're too small to make a difference, you haven't spent the night with a mosquito." Even the smallest word or gesture can make a difference. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing, because I think we do it well." So let's be encouraged by Barnabas. to be generous and courageous. And let's think about how we can encourage each other as brothers and sisters in the family of Christ. Amen.